from Akron, Ohio. This is episode 85 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about the career of Mel Brooks. We're going to talk about our top two favorite Mel Brooks tropes and our top three favorite Mel Brooks scenes. But first, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm surrounded by a bunch of assholes.
Sir.
Thumo.
And Kyle.
Keep firing, assholes. It's been a while since we've been in the studio.
Do our listeners know that?
Probably.
Yeah. They probably guessed.
Yeah. Like Stained says, it's been a while. Sir, what's something that you've watched since the last time we recorded?
I saw the movie Dope.
And was it?
It was dope. It was really dope. It was really cool because there's no other movie like it, and the music was great. It completely delivers on what you're expecting, a movie that's like 90s retro, and it's just it's a good
story. Does it take place in the 90s, or does it just have that vibe?
No, it takes place in the present day, and
which is 2015.
Yeah, I actually thought it was a 90s movie going into it, and I like what they did better, because they just had the three main characters, just play kids that are obsessed with the 90s, which kind of makes it, you know, the one kid has cassettes, like, you know, it's his whole room is decked out, like, it's really cool, and it allows for, you know, the old people to, I think, take a little bit more enjoyment out of it, because they can see how ridiculous it looks next to everything else, and that's at least
Kyle got to play this game yesterday. My wife Nellie and I invented a game where you just look up songs on Spotify and try to find the most 90s sounding thing ever. It's a pretty fun game.
It's pretty fun. Is it all pretty much nobodies in the movie, or are there any big names?
Well, that depends on ASAP Rocky and YG and Vince Staples are known to you or not. To some, I guess. You know, like they're not nobodies. I mean, the person I watched it with was like, oh, I really,
yeah.
And I kind of just went along because I'm not as young as that person. And then later,
the other thing I know about
I figured out, those are some new rappers.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I know about Aesop Rocky is that his name sounds like Aesop Rock, and that there is like a.
Oh, I thought that was the same.
No. I mean, I knew two of them. I knew Aesop, and I appreciate his music despite. The confusion about the name that I don't understand. It's like you're from New York. Another guy is from New York. Yeah. This is so similar. However, everybody in his group has ASAP in front of their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, also, Vince Staples was in it, and I will for sure put that guy on. He's like one of the best new rappers out.
Nice. Demo, what have you seen lately?
I recently rewatched the television version of It, starring Tim Curry as Pennywise, the dancing clown, Georgie. And I got to say, like, I had read the novel for the first time before rewatching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it much, much more after knowing the backstory and knowing, like, kind of the things that are alluded to within the context of the movie. I'm just getting into Stephen King now, which I'm very late to the party, but it's it's awesome to discover all this like amazing fiction.
Yeah.
I've only read three, Bullet and On Writing. So, which I think is his best book.
On Writing is really, really cool.
Oh man. It's one of the best. It's one of the best writing books. I mean, I think that's the first one I recommend pretty much to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never even seen it actually.
They're talking about a remake. I don't know if it's been like in and out of production.
It was supposed to be Cary Fukunaga, who's the guy who made, True Detective.
Ooh.
But he is no longer a part of the project.
Oh.
So take that ooh back.
right back. Bring it right back. But yeah. And then I painted a picture of it.
I saw that.
Yeah. And I asked, I thought this was really good. And I asked one of my friends, I'm like, why aren't people liking it? And she's like, it's too creepy.
I think I liked it, didn't I?
I think you did. Yeah.
If I didn't. Know that I liked it in my heart.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Kyle, what have you seen lately?
A lot, actually. I saw Jurassic World twice in theaters. Once because the first time we saw it from the third row, and it was pretty unwatchable.
In 3D, too.
Yeah, and in 3D. So it was decent the first time, and I liked it a lot more the second time I watched it. I'm a season behind on True Detective, and I'm like two episodes in, and it's really good.
Of the Matthew McConaughey season.
Yeah. Yeah, that show is really good. I like the music a lot. I feel like no one has been really saying much about the music, but I think it's really good. And then I watched a sneak peek of an episode or a scene from Scream, the TV show, which they're doing on MTV, and it was awful. I didn't expect it to be that great, but there's just way too much high-tech stuff. Like, now that everyone has cell phones and, like, can FaceTime and stuff, mm-hmm. the killer is just, like, sending them videos of them, like, 5 seconds earlier, like, creepy watching them from someplace. And I don't know. It's just too futuristic for me. I kind of missed when no one had access to phones and stuff and in those old slasher movies. But
it does change a lot, especially because they want to show you, like, I don't want to see somebody looking at FaceTime.
Yeah. And another thing,
I'm going to FaceTime you a threatening message.
Well, yeah. I mean, even though, I don't want to see that on screen. It's just too, it's
even
weird.
Looking at, like, vampire movies, like, when someone's looking through an old tome, it's cool. When someone's Googling it, it's not.
Yeah. Another thing that was really annoying with it was she's using her phone to play music in her house. So she'll say, like, play music, and the whole house will start playing music. But then when she's running away from the killer, she says, call 911, and it, like, calls the wrong number. It calls, like, Zippy's Pizza or something. And
that's,
it's like,
stupid.
Oh, no.
It's like, okay.
The killer is sharing our Wi-Fi.
What have you been watching?
Watch Jurassic World. It was pretty stupid, but I still enjoyed it, which I think was what it was going for. Yeah. I've been watching Daredevil. I'm 2/3 of the way done with it, and it's been pretty legit.
Yeah?
I'm a fan.
Nice. I mean, because you're not really a huge comic book person.
No.
So yeah.
And I was saying to Themo earlier, I know nothing about Daredevil that I didn't learn from Ben Affleck. So this was a step up.
Yeah.
I like it. I didn't know until Kyle pointed it out that Fulton Reed from the Mighty Ducks is in it.
Yeah.
He plays Foggy.
Yeah.
Are you guys related?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same
first.
Anybody who has our last name is a first name. Isn't that?
That's how it works.
And sir, you're related to anyone who's been knighted, right?
Yeah.
Do you think we could get Paul on the show?
Yeah.
McCartney?
Oh, for sure.
I didn't feel like I needed to get the last name since you're related to
him. I know him well.
Also from the UK.
That's the second Paul from the UK.
I thought we had three Pauls from the UK.
So, well, we have a Kieran.
Kieran King.
Right.
Did you see my post about that?
No.
I was like, we have another UK listener and also another listener whose name boasts power.
Yeah, like, exactly. He's like a space opera hero. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Kieran King.
Speaking,
yeah. he has the alliteration of a comic book hero as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, Stan Lee did that so that everybody could remember the names.
They're on a first name basis.
Stanley,
Cern Stanley,
yeah. Stanley Lee. Stan,
yeah, he just goes as one.
Stanley Lee
together. You have to say it together.
So speaking of space opera and space balls, we're going to talk about Mel Brooks.
Seamless. It's like we planned it.
It's like we did, but we didn't because it was not good. Kyle, I know you're a big fan of certain Mel Brooks films.
Pretty much just one.
Including the aforementioned Spaceballs.
Yeah.
What is it that makes a Mel Brooks film a Mel Brooks film?
I haven't watched a lot of his movies, but from the ones that I hear about and the ones that I've seen, none of them are very serious at all. And they're very, they're filled with really goofy characters, over the top characters. And what I like about his movies is that he takes them from different, there's a lot of different genres and different styles, like from Spaceballs and Young Frankenstein and The Producers. They're all like very different as far as like what goes on in them. But we'll get into it later with the tropes that he uses, which are pretty much in like all of his movies. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a certain style and humor that is in all of his movies that,
yeah, he definitely goes to the same well a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part it works out. What do you think, Themo?
You're either going to like his movies or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are very similar in terms of tone and type of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Very irreverent, a lot of use of slapstick. And it almost harkens back to like an older it's
vaudeville almost.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like a vaudevillian type thing where it would be at home next to like, you know, stuff that Abbott and Costello are like, I mean, you know, Sid Caesar is one of the main guys in his thing who's not, you know, not too far off from me. So, but that's definitely part of it. Definitely, like Kyle pointed out, he parodies quite a bit and likes to play off of genre standards quite a bit. Yeah. So, what do you think?
A little bit like vaudeville, just, you know, black actors instead of white people in blackface, burnt cork. And it's, I think the thing about Mel Brooks is it's like the parody thing. I mean, that's one thing I noticed in
Yeah, it's a key.
Grabbing these movies and going through the catalog. That's his main drive. It kind of surprised me how that really was like the entirety of his filmography. I thought I was going to find maybe more somewhat straight ahead comedies. However, I guess The Producers is.
Yeah, The Producers
is actually kind of more just like a black comedy.
Yeah, and it's like, more a straight comedy rather than a parody. But most of his other movies are. Mm-hmm. There's the take on the Western. There's the take on the Star Wars type film.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, Dracula, Frankenstein and the Old.
And I think what really impresses me about his career is that he was really the first guy. I mean, who else really did that much?
Yeah.
And he's the father of it. So, I think that alone kind of gets him in the...
Like a funny old Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. But his career isn't just movies, because he's also involved in the theater. He's one of the few people who has an EGOT. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Mm.
It's him, Whoopi Goldberg.
What?
The guy who wrote the song from Frozen.
He's in good company, what you're saying.
I think Tracy Jordan has one in The World of 30 Rock.
Oh, did he get it?
I think he got it. And Trey Parker and Matt Stone are only an Oscar away.
Oh, nice.
Huh.
Tracy Morgan.
No, Tracy Jordan. Tracy Jordan is the character.
Oh.
Yeah, that one gets confusing.
Clearly, I don't watch the show.
That one gets confusing. But yeah, so he's involved. He's involved a lot in theater. Like The Producers was a huge Broadway hit when they remade it with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. And one thing that it's not even really a theme, I guess, but somehow he always incorporates the theater into his movies. Like The Producers is about the theater. Young Frankenstein has the putting on the Ritz bit. Blazing Saddles has
that breakthrough in the walls
where they actually break through
and then the
fourth wall.
The chain gang scene.
The alien scene in Spaceballs at the end.
Yeah, so he really does love the theater. And did you guys watch? There's a thing on Netflix from the American Masters series. It's like an hour and a half long documentary on Mel Brooks.
I saw that, but I didn't check it out.
Yeah, I watched it. It's fine. It's not groundbreaking, but you learn a little bit about him. And he was a big fan of the theater growing up. And he said in the interview that like him doing The Producers and making a successful Broadway play is like one of his most proud accomplishments.
Yeah, there is a very theatrical quality to all of his movies too. Mm-hmm. Like I think most of them would make good plays if they were adapted.
I would love to see Spaceballs on Broadway.
Yeah, that would be.
I think they did Young Frankenstein as well.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it musical?
Yeah.
Oh man!
And then like you can even have. I think people post their whole things on YouTube. They're like community theater productions.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then, like he uses set pieces quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also gives it like a theatrical feel to it. Cause I do feel like a backdrop or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. something that was rolled out.
Yeah. And one thing about his parodies that there are like two ways that he makes fun of things. There's the parody of something that he likes. Like, you can clearly tell that he has watched a ton of Westerns when you watch Blazing Saddles. Like, the way it's shot is right. The music and the theme song is right. And same with Young Frankenstein. You can tell that he loves old horror movies, or has at least watched a ton of them to get the feel of that right. But he also parodies and goes after the Nazis.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who, like, was in the armed forces and is Jewish. Mm-hmm. Which he references maybe once or twice in his films.
Sparingly.
And he, like, in the movie To Be or Not to Be, which he's in with his wife Anne Bancroft, he didn't direct it, but I think he produced it. He plays the guy who plays Hitler in part of it, and he just, it's Charlie Chaplin-esque in terms of just mocking this guy so much to try to take him down. It's not quite as effective as Chaplin just because it wasn't contemporary, but it's still so funny just to see Mel Brooks, like, just being a goofball with the Hitler mustache.
Yeah. I think even with Blazing Saddles, the way he goes after basically, like, the racist, mm-hmm. Posse members, and that is really, like, the chain gang scene we mentioned, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, it really, he breaks them down and he makes you kind of just see them as ridiculous and very stupid.
Incredibly stupid.
Even, like, and I found out that the what was that, the first fart joke? Really, do you guys, I don't know the history behind it, if that's really the history, a true statement or not.
The history of farts?
Essentially, in film, yeah. Like, that, I don't know if that's like really a true statement, however, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's the first one. And it kind of just lets, you know, reminds people, hey, like, these cowboys were, they lacked couth.
Yeah. It does remind me that there is a Calvin and Hobbes strip in which he walks outside in the wintertime and then makes a face. In the last panel, just says, "Don't you hate it when your boogers freeze?" And apparently, that was the first use of the word "booger" in the Funny Papers. So I can't verify the fart thing,
but you can verify the boogers.
I know my boogers. All right, you guys ready to jump into our favorite? Do we want to do tropes first? Tropes or scenes?
Let's do scenes.
All right,
or we could do tropes and then.
And then scenes. Or scenes and then tropes, though.
I'm going to do one scene, two tropes, and the other two scenes.
All right, that's how we're going to do
it's
it.
It's like playoff, NBA playoff format.
All right, yeah. That's how we're doing it. Join us after the break and something about LeBron James.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man. I was going to ask you for your top five records to play on a Monday morning and all that, and you just had to ruin it. We'll do it next Monday.
No! I'm going to do it now!
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about our favorite Mel Brooks tropes and scenes. Kyle, what's your third favorite Mel Brooks scene?
Third favorite? I think my third favorite might be... And the reason that it's this scene and not probably a better one is because I don't remember the movie super well, but the campfire scene from... Blazing Saddles, like we were just talking about it earlier.
The fart scene.
Just because farts are always going to be funny. And it's been a while since I've seen that scene, but I bet you like it's just as funny. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Farts.
Breaking more than the fourth wall.
Thank you.
All right.
What about you, Themo?
My third favorite scene is actually from Dracula, Dead and Loving It, believe it or not. Not one of his strongest.
What?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. However, oh my gosh, I'm blanking out now. His little, the British guy who goes over to the castle, the first one, Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
Renfield. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I couldn't think of the name. So Renfield's like laying in bed and Dracula's wives show up and they're like, mounting the furniture and being very vulgar atop the furniture.
Provocative,
thank you. And
hot.
Yeah, and like they're at the foot of his bed doing this and staring him down, and the expression on his face is just he has his jaw dropped and everything, and then the words out of his mouth are, "My God, what are you doing to the furniture?" And it is so, I knew it was going to kill the joke. It's a very good joke and it's worth seeing, but don't say it now because then you know the punchline. Wait a while, forget that we had this conversation, then watch Dracula Dead and Loving It and you will laugh. Sir, third favorite scene.
It's our ringing endorsement.
Yeah, that is like one.
That's
one of the few things I actually remember from that movie, though. So Themo is right. That is like it's very funny.
One of the problems with this is that Mel Brooks has such a unique style, and things are like they'll just come across as like dad jokes.
Yeah, no,
not
I get
in
that.
Context.
They really do.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it.
Yeah, like you can't talk him out of anything. My own list, but
awful puns.
I'd say my favorite one is the opening scene in Robin Hood Men in Tights, my third favorite. Mm-hmm. And I like it because, for one, it shows how stupid Robin Hood is in this, and it kind of turns that, you know, archetype of hero just completely on its head, because he just stumbles into everything. And I like it because you kind of think that they're parodying Prince of Thieves directly by having like the older, it's like older Moorish gentleman, and then he's like, no, actually my kid, or is it his, not, yeah, my son, yeah, yeah. You know, is this guy is gonna basically be your sidekick. And it's, I don't know, it's pretty funny. It's another one of those scenes, I couldn't really explain it any better than you guys could just watch it. So
The thing about Mel Brooks movies is they're so quotable, but maybe retelling the jokes doesn't always pan out unless you're just quoting it off the cuff.
Yeah, like exactly. Like in an off the cuff scene, you can tell if somebody's cool if they drop like a really deep like Mel Brooks pull.
Yeah.
But in trying to recreate like the atmosphere and the magic, there's just no way.
This is gonna be an awkward one.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is appropriate, actually. Yeah, because one of my favorite, and it's not on my list, but one of my most quoted Mel Brooks lines is from Blazing Saddles, when it's Mel Brooks' character, and he's just going, work, 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 work,
work. Yeah, that really good. Yeah, that one really is good.
But trying to explain why it's funny in a top five is really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, I just watched Blazing Saddles,
Yeah. All right. So my number three favorite scene is, it's really just a line also from Blazing Saddles, when Hedy Lamarr.
It's Hedley.
Says he's trying to like rouse his men, and he says, men, you're about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West. Now you men will only be risking your lives, whilst I will be risking an almost certain Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor. I love breaking the fourth wall. I love when Mel Brooks does it, and I think that's the funniest example of his characters breaking the fourth wall.
And that's perfect, because you told me that joke like a few weeks ago before I had seen it.
Oh,
and it wasn't that funny. Like, I just kind of heard it and was like, when I watched it though, dude, I laughed out loud.
It's, yeah, because it's so moment. Funny. And because the Hedy Lamarr character is one of his best characters. He's just so ridiculous. It's Hedley. Kyle, what's your number two favorite trope?
My tropes really aren't in any order, but a trope that I really like that I think TV Trope says was made from Mel Brooks is good is dumb, or dumb is, I think it's good is dumb, not dumb is good, but it's basically just saying how pretty much every single character in all of his movies they're all idiots. Like, I don't know if there's an intelligent character in any of his movies, and I think that makes them way more funny and way more relatable. Yeah.
He also had a saying that was, wit is shit, funny is money.
Who said that? Mel Brooks said that?
I don't know what it even means. But it rhymes.
Yeah.
I think I get it. That's basically him telling us that he's dumbed down his whole career. That's when Jay-Z admitted he wanted to rap like Talib Kweli, and you know, it's like, just couldn't, because he couldn't afford to.
Yeah.
Thema, would be your second favorite trope?
My second favorite trope is going to be Production Posse. He has a kind of a motley crew of characters, including Madeline Kahn, Marty Feldman, Dom DeLuise, Gene Wilder, of course, and he brings them together and kind of play off one another and create some just wonderful, wonderful dynamics that we get to enjoy over and over, which is another reason why his movies always seem, I don't want to say repetitive or anything like that, but why they each have their own, that type of good feel, that magical feel. And I just, you know, they kind of catch lightning in a bottle. And I understand that he actually became an actor and started to become part of that posse when Gene Wilder started to step back from acting and Mel Brooks was left with this like need for a leading man.
Hmm.
So that's why he like kind of stepped up in History of the World, for example.
Because he was a performer though back, like he started off as like a writer and a co-creator. He co-created Get Smart, which we haven't talked much about his TV stuff. Yeah, he co-created Get Smart, and he worked with Sid Caesar, and he did like the 2,000-Year-Old Man, which are all like really funny bits. But yeah, I guess you're right. It wasn't until like the first few of his movies that he even started appearing in them, because he's not in The Producers at all. So, yeah, interesting. Sir, what's your second favorite Mel Brooks trope?
I was going with Production Posse, and really just to talk about Gene Wilder, I think, you know, that's been one of the coolest things going through these guys' movies is being able to watch Gene Wilder again.
Yeah.
I think that's somebody that I remember seeing a lot of his comedies growing up, even though I'm not sure they were all appropriate. I don't know. You know, like, yeah, like Stir Crazy. Like, you know, it's just, those are such great movies. And so much of it is this kid, this guy's energy, you know, and you can see how many comedians have completely copied off of him and just bit his whole style. And Gene Wilder, just amazing. Nick, what's your second favorite?
My second favorite kind of plays off of what Demo was saying. It's creator cameo, because I love whenever Mel Brooks is in his own movies, because he's just so funny and goofy, and he like perfect second maybe only to Gene Wilder. I think he epitomizes what's good about his own creations, is that he's so goofy and over the top. Like him playing yogurt, like and I think it's funny that he plays two different characters in Spaceballs. Yeah. He plays yogurt.
There's
and
no need to
like, President Scroob.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Damn it! That's
the code to my luggage.
All right, I'm gonna switch my top five. I got some in my back pocket, but that was I quote that myself. Like,
oh, yeah, it's so good. God. And then, like I was saying, the work, and maybe one of the best laugh out loud jokes in Blazing Saddles is, can't you see that man is a nit?
Yeah,
I don't remember that one.
It goes where it sounds like it's going, but it's so funny, it's so good. So creator cameo had to be on my list just because I love seeing Mel Brooks on screen. So, Kyle, what's your favorite Mel Brooks trope?
Creator cameo was up there. I think slapstick also needs to be on there at some point, just because all his movies are just. The type of comedy is just really physical. A lot of falling down and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know if the facial expressions fall under physical comedy, but I feel like a lot of his characters have like really animated faces and like goofy looks and bugged out eyes. And you definitely don't see that kind of comedy anymore for the most part. But it is nice rewatching all of his movies and still laughing at moments of just sort of simple but effective comedy like that.
Yep.
Work. What about you, Thema?
That was actually going to be my number one as well, the slapstick.
Yeah. We are just stepping on each other's toes all day.
What I'll do, but what I'll do instead is going to go with Breaking the Fourth Wall, which is very common in his films. Most notably is It's Good to Be the King, which is used like 3 times back-to-back in History of the World, Part 1.
Mm.
But
Think we did Breaking the Fourth Wall.
That was like one of the thing that might have been the first episode.
Episode number one. And I think Spaceballs actually made Kyle's list, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. If it didn't,
it should have.
I don't know what is wrong with me.
Yeah. I think my favorite example of this is probably... Oh, gosh. I mean, It's Good to Be the King is so like known, but there's this one scene where Marty Feldman is, as Igor, is obtaining a brain in Young Frankenstein, and he has the name written down on his hand, and he just points to the brain with the hand, and it's written, like, the name's written across his palm. He points to the name on the jar, and he just looks over his shoulder at the audience and, like, gives a nod, and it was, like, so, like, Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, like, mischief's about to happen. And it does. And it was wonderful. Sir, your number one trope?
My number one trope is the arch enemy. I think that, you know, and for Mel Brooks, this was basically Hitler and the Nazis.
Yeah.
And I think further, though, his the real enemy to him was stupidity and hatred and all, you know, all of the ills of the world. And, you know, he wanted to basically help people to see how crazy this stuff was. I mean, he has a direct quote, which is brilliant. The first line, "I was never crazy about Hitler. If you stand on a soapbox and trade rhetoric with the dictator, you never win. That's what they do so well. They seduce people. If you ridicule them, bring them down with laughter, they can't win. You show how crazy they are." Nicholas, that's awesome. Number one.
Yeah, that's. I think that does a really good job of summarizing his movies, actually. My number one is, his name is really Barkeep. And this is a trope where, for example, people just call the barkeep Barkeep. And it's, if his name is actually Barkeep, it's like an extra joke. So as we intro the show with, all the characters named Asshole on Spaceballs. I remember watching this, and we were really young when I saw it for the first time. So it had that extra element of, like, we shouldn't be able to see all this swearing. And it was just so funny, and probably 20 years later, from when I saw it for the first time, it's still hilarious. Yeah. Just keep firing, assholes. Kyle, what's your second favorite Mel Brooks scene?
I think my second favorite Mel Brooks scene is just the whole long scene of when Gene Wilder's character is introduced and the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Just like him getting grilled. I don't know that the main guy's Max's...
Bialystock? Yeah. Oh, Zero Mostel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Their just chemistry is really good, and Gene Wilder is so over the top with his whole blanket, and mm-hmm. like when you take his little handkerchief blanket thing and he freaks out and he's like and then it's just, it's so goofy when he's standing up for him, he's like, "You're gonna jump on me." It's just like, it's so good, and Gene Wilder is so funny, and
I'm hysterical. I'm wet and I'm hysterical.
I mean, the only problem with that scene is the rest of the movie for me doesn't really, it kind of goes coasts on that, but yeah. That scene is just hilarious, so
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably my second favorite Mel Brooks scene.
I like the producer. I'm sorry, the director.
The director.
Like, that was a good scene.
Oh, and he comes out, like, in the dress and everything? Yeah. Yeah. And when they're auditioning.
Yeah. But you're right, it starts off that strong, it's hard to...
Yeah. What about you, Thamo?
My number two scene is going to be The Inquisition from History of the World, Part 1, where it's a... Actually, kind of going back to what we're talking about with the theater.
Yeah, it breaks into song.
Yeah, he breaks into song. And also what we're talking about with the dad joke, like, it starts off with somebody introducing Torquemada, and he says, like, "Torquemada, beg him not for forgiveness. Torquemada, do not plead for mercy. You can't Torquemada anything." And then it's like this huge, like, theatrical production of Mel Brooks singing about this atrocity. But you're just laughing, again, like kind of Sirlik was talking about, you're laughing at these idiots and
mm-hmm.
these terrible people that, you know, were just scumbags.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun to have at their expense. Sir, your number two scene?
My number two scene is when Mongo punches the horse. It's so awesome. It's so brilliant. And... it just really sums up that character perfectly. You immediately get, like, why everybody's been talking about him the way they have been.
Yeah. I also love, I don't know if it's in the same scene, but it's also in Blazing Saddles, where the thugs are just beating up an old lady. Yeah. And then she looks at the camera and goes, "Have you ever seen such cruelty?"
That's incredible. Yeah, it's just awesome. And I think it was kind of somewhat, not really parodied, it's referenced in Mario Van Peebles' movie, The Posse.
Is
a guy punches a horse in that too, and it's like, it's pretty much the exact same framing and everything. Nick, what's your second scene?
My second favorite scene is from To Be or Not to Be, which was a Mel Brooks starring but not directing movie, where It takes place in Poland during the beginning of World War II, when Poland's in the midst of being invaded by the Nazis, and Mel Brooks and his wife Anne Bancroft are playing a married couple who are actors, and the film starts with them on stage and they do like a number. It's another theater thing. It's them on stage. They do a number and then the curtain goes down and they start arguing with each other in Polish. And, cause it takes place in Poland, they're Polish characters and there's no subtitles. And then they both just stop and a voice off screen, like overhead, kind of like the voice of God stops and basically just says, for the purposes of clarity and sanity, the rest of this movie will not be in Polish. And then after that, it's all in English. I thought it's like another good breaking the fourth wall bit from a Mel Brooks vehicle. So, that's Kyle, awesome. What's your favorite Mel Brooks?
I can't narrow down my favorite scene in Spaceballs. There's just...
There's so many good bits.
Yeah, there are just too many.
Like you alluded to off...
The...
Off...
Comb the Desert.
Yeah, Comb the Desert.
The Sweeps, the Bleeps, and the Creeps. And then in that same scene we're jammed.
Yeah.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
We should just go back and forth.
And speaking of fourth
do
wall,
the whole movie.
Speaking of the fourth wall, when they're having this lightsaber fight and the lighting guy gets
Yeah. and then I guess the last scene, which I forgot about and rewatched it today, was when Rick Moranis' character Dark Helmet's playing with his dolls. Because it's so long, the scene. Like, it goes on for way too long. But
there have been talks of them making a Spaceballs sequel.
Oh, gosh.
I
would be behind. If we have the original cast, except for John Candy, I'm behind.
Yeah. They made a Spaceballs cartoon TV show, which looked pretty awful. Oh. Yeah.
Bartholomew. If they do
Pizza the Hut,
if they do make a Spaceballs sequel,
death.
I will be 100% behind it. If they do in fact title it Spaceballs 2: The Search for More Money,
that would be so next level brilliant. You'd have to do that.
How could
may the Schwartz be with you?
Spaceballs, the flame.
The kids love it.
Yes, yes. Oh god.
How could they not name it Spaceballs 2: The Search for More Money?
You'd have to.
I'm just plain yogurt. Thema, what is your favorite?
Oh, that's so good. My favorite Mel Brooks scene is from Young Frankenstein, and it is Frau Blücher. I was hoping one of you guys could throw me a horse neigh. All right. That's
sorry.
That's all right.
Cloris Leachman, another one of his posse.
Yeah. No, and she's great. She's great in High Anxiety, too. She plays the Nurse Crampit kind of character.
Ratchet.
Sure. What did I say? Yeah, I called her Crampit.
Clampus. That's
like Krampus. Yeah, is where I got that.
Here's Krampus.
The Beverly Hillbillies. Like, is there like a villain from there?
Oh wow, I'm mixing my culture things. Anyhow, so she's Frau Blücher, and she's thank you. And she's going up the stairs, and Gene Wilder's kind of piecing together that she had assisted his grandfather in creating a monster before. And. And he asked her, like, so does that mean that you you were involved with this? And then she was playing the violin prior to this. So they cut to her and she does a, dramatic strike of the violin. Every time she says yes, it's like, it kind of is, it's almost like source music. And, so she says,
stay
yes,
tuned for episode
yes.
87 of On the Drop, yeah. Source Music.
And so they get to the top of the stairs and, Gene Wilder finally goes, so that means that you, yes, say it. He was my boyfriend, and it was just, oh god, I just killed the joke so bad, but it is so funny to see, because it's like such a dramatic moment, and instead of saying lover or
it's like a childish,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Sir, your number one scene?
It was a tie between my two favorite fight scenes from any of those movies, and one of which features the line, "Do you know Praying Mantis?" From Robin Hood Men in Tights, when Robin and Achu get in a fight with the sheriff's thugs. And then the second one would just be the final scene in Blazing Saddles. I mean, it's probably not the most original pick. However, I think that scene is so important to the film just because, as Nick mentioned earlier, this is a guy who clearly loves Western movies, who clearly understands what's absolutely necessary to have in one. And he really, and it's a great breaking the fourth wall moment. Nick, what's your favorite one?
My favorite one, I was going to go with the Gene Wilder, I'm hysterical and I'm wet scene. So I'm going to swap it out for, we didn't talk much about High Anxiety until just now. Yeah. But since Themo brought up violins, there's a moment in High Anxiety, which I don't love. I mean, the moment I love, the movie I don't love, but the moment, the best scene in the movie, and one of my favorite Mel Brooks gags is, the movie is basically a Hitchcock parody. And he was a big fan of Hitchcock and actually like let Hitchcock look at the script. And apparently Hitchcock's favorite part of it was the psycho scene. He talked about this a little bit in the Make a Noise, the psycho, when the guy comes in with the newspaper and like stabs him.
Oh yeah.
He's like, here. And, but my favorite part of the movie is actually another psycho reference where you hear like this like intense, fast paced violin sounding music while he's driving in his car. And it sounds kind of like a Bernard Herrmann score. And as he's driving in the car, you see a bus full of an orchestra pull up next to him, and they're just playing the music. And it's so funny, and it's so ridiculous. And that scene is, stay tuned
for episode 87.
Yeah, source music. But that scene's also doubly awesome because The Simpsons also made an homage to that bit in one of my favorite Simpsons episodes, which is the X-Files crossover with Mulder and Scully, I think from season 8.
Huh.
They do the same exact thing, and it's it just hits me.
Yeah.
It hits me in the right place. So, all right, Mel Brooks. Awesome.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's 89.
Yeah, he's still kicking. He's going to make Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. And we didn't,
I hope to God he does.
We didn't talk much about... he was married to Anne Bancroft, who was also awesome. He's got a few kids, one of which is Max Brooks, mm-hmm. who is also awesome.
Who we met.
Who we met, yeah.
And we have signed copies of his,
and he's a,
his opus.
And he's a big fan of us.
Zombie Survival Guide.
I like to think.
Did you guys read World War Z?
He signed my copy of World War Z, actually.
Yeah. Unbelievable. The best thing about that book is if you just swap out zombie for any other global disaster, it's a really important and scholarly book.
It's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
I'm a big fan. I highly recommend that book. I highly recommend anything that Mel Brooks created, even if it was something that his creation created.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Which is that book. All right. So,
not the movie.
Yeah, not the movie. I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it. You can find us online, sir.
You can go to facebook.com/onthetropes and share all of these great episodes and things.
Yeah. Demo?
You can follow us at Twitter or on Twitter at onthetropes.
Kyle?
Or also on iTunes?
Yep.
At onthetropes.
That's
true. Subscribe, review, rate.
Right again. Tell all your friends straight. Email us at gmail@onthetropes@gmail.com and head over to tvtropes.org. Learn more about Mel Brooks and tell us what your favorite Mel Brooks stuff is. In the meantime, join us next week when we're going to be talking about Gainax ending. And until then, as always, I've been your host, Nick, and we have been
Sir
Thumbo
and Kyle.
And join us again next week when we'll be stuck on the tropes.
On the tropes.